Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Metal Shop here on The Rock on the tour bus with Obituary. Now, we're talking with Trevor, the guitarist for Obituary, and you guys are on tour right now with Skeleton Witch, with Dustbolt, and with Paul Bearer. Welcome to Seattle.
Thank you, man. How's it going?
It's going good, man. Now, you just rolled up to Seattle today. Most important question, have you been to any recreational weed shops while you're here yet?
Not me personally, but I'm sure about 8 people on this tour did go. I just wait for them to bring it back and I partake.
Yeah, yeah, well, welcome to the Northwest, yeah, for that one especially. So a couple weeks ago, we just did our all-local episode where we kind of like pay attention to our own local scene and this and that. So we're kind of curious to pick your brain, like what are one or two or a couple of your favorite like Northwest or Seattle bands, living, past, dead, alive, anybody at all?
Well, Jimi Hendrix.
Nice.
Love Jimi Hendrix. Probably a big reason why I play the Fender Stratocaster, to be honest. And obviously, like Soundgarden, love. And Alice in Chains is probably one of my favorite bands on the whole planet, to be honest.
Nice. Have you heard that new song yet?
No, I haven't.
It is heavy, man.
I wouldn't surprise me, because, I mean, there's a lot of their old stuff that has riffs that are almost could be like death metal. I mean, really, there's some doomy that they put out. I don't know if I can say 4-letter words, but
no,
I just slipped. But yeah. Very good stuff.
So, last couple of years, we've seen you guys a bunch of times. Saw you at Studio 7. We saw you up in the U District with Midnight and Creator. Been awesome seeing you guys tour so much. Obviously, you know, you're out on the road a lot. What is your, like, go-to food when you stop? Is there a fast food establishment? Is there a restaurant that you gotta hit?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, according to where we're at, you know, like when we're in Canada, we'll try to get poutine. You know, you gotta have poutine. You know, it's like, I don't know. I like so much food that I'm not that particular.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like yesterday, we played in Portland, and there's a Fred Meyer's across the street.
Yeah.
And they have this great sushi belt thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we hit that every time. Yeah.
What's up, Portland?
Dude, it's killer.
Damn.
Yeah, the guy's making it fresh right in front of you. So
yeah.
We hit that every time, you know. But, you know, generally I try to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Because it's on the road, you know.
Because you're on the road all the time.
Yeah. I mean, literally, this is the first tour I've done in forever, probably, that I haven't hit McDonald's yet, which is pretty strange.
Good for you.
Yeah, you know what? That is good for you.
But you know what's funny? It's like they've been advertising the last few days. They're doing fresh beef, apparently.
Oh, then not frozen?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I'm kind of curious. I'm like, we got to go get a QP with cheese, man. Try it out. I'll
bring you a QP. Something.
Hey, so you guys have been on the road now for what? Like a couple weeks? It's been a week or two?
Yeah, a little bit over 2 weeks. We're a little bit over the halfway point. We started the second, I think it was our first show.
Yeah.
So when you finally get to step back into your own house, stretch your legs a little bit, what are your hobbies, man? Tell us, what do you do? Do you just riff? You go home, pet the kitties? Like, what are you doing when you get back?
Not much riffing when I first get home. You know, the guitar will stay in my case for a while. But, well, I live near the beach
nice.
In the Bay Area of Tampa. So I'm either at the pier, drinking beer, fishing, take the kids to the beach, swimming. I love the beach lifestyle. I'm totally into it. I mean, I love the sun and the salt water and, you know, hang out with friends, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love fishing, you know, so do a lot of fishing for sure.
So what's your...
Okay, so now I'm curious, man, because I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy, too. What do you fish for? Like, what's the thing? It's a little nerdy, and I love that. I'm curious.
Well, in the Bay, well, Tampa, that area of the Gulf, we got the Gulf of Mexico and Bay, all kind of different seasons, you know, there's different stuff. Like, certain times of year, you go snook fishing, red fishing. A lot of times on the pier, you can catch Spanish mackerel. They'll come, like, schools of them come swinging by, and you flip out. Oh, yeah, I use lures, too, 99% of the time, so I'm, you know, just... if you fish on the beach, there's this fish it's called whiting, that are really tasty, real clean. They eat like coquinas, like little clams and stuff. So their meat's really sweet and white.
Man, I'm hungry.
Yeah, you go in the morning, like early in the morning, you go out there, like right as the sun's coming up, and use a bobber and just like a little piece of chunk of shrimp on it and just throw it out there and just wait for it to go poof, and you know, they're beautiful.
Love that image, man.
One of my favorite fish, though, which I don't really go fishing much for because you have to kind of go out and be with a captain. It's called a red snapper. They're so tasty. Oh, my God.
You guys talking about sushi, fishing, man. Do you ever make your own sushi at all?
No, I've never made my own sushi because it's like, you know, I cook a lot. I like to cook, and if there's a sushi place near my house, I'm just like, why reinvent the wheel? You know, just let them do it. I would go, because I don't eat it that often, not enough. But my specialty for cooking, I like the barbecue, like smoke, you know, smoke foods and other things. But smoke food.
And a couple of things.
Yeah, meats like pork shoulder and ribs and stuff like that. You know?
Nice. Cool.
I'll agree.
Oh, yeah, I actually have my own food truck. I have a barbecue food truck with a smoker on board, you know. And
what's it called? Yeah, what's
it called? Well, people call me T-Bone. That's kind of a nickname they call me. And so it's called T-Bone's Famous Smoke and Barbecue.
So now you know what to do when you head down to this literally the farthest place from here, basically.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Clear calls.
All right, so we got to ask you. Florida is kind of known for crazy news stories. Whenever we see a news story that's just some f***ed up stuff, a lot of times it's based in Florida. What's up, man? What's up with Florida?
Bunch of crazy people down there. Well, Florida, okay, not many people are from Florida. That's part of the reason, I think, because, like, when I was a kid, maybe 1 in 10 people were from Florida. Maybe, not even. Yeah. But now it's like, it's got to be, I don't even know, maybe a 150 because everybody comes, it's so beautiful there during the summer, you know, during the winter, obviously. It's warm year-round, so it's like paradise. So a lot of influx of transients, you know, so you got people.
They attract all the crazies.
Oh, yeah. So people, you got every walk of life going down there. So you get crazy people down there, too. And then they do crazy and welcome to Florida. Yeah.
You guys have put out 10 records, man. You guys have been around for a long time. We've been putting in work for a long time. We were kind of curious, like, because we've been playing the new record a lot. And we were, you know, saying, yo, this new record's called Obituary, self-titled. Why, after all these years, did you choose to go self-titled, man?
Well, it was funny. It wasn't methodical. We were like, what are we going to call this album? We're looking at the titles of the songs. So usually that's how we name our albums, after a title of a song. And we had this piece of artwork. We weren't sure what we were going to do for the art, but we had this piece of art that we ended up using from a few years ago. When we did the Inked in Blood album, we had Andreas Marshall paint this other piece at the same time for possibly maybe a DVD or just an idea we had, and we said, let's do this too. We kind of put them up, did the same art. I mean, those pieces are at the same time. It was just kind of sitting there on the shelf. We were like, hey, let's use this piece. And Donald's like, yeah, I was thinking the same. You know, so we were both kind of on the same page with the artwork. Let's just use that piece. It's a cool-looking logo. So then when trying to decide an album title, we were going through the songs, and we were like, what do we call it? We were like, well, it's a logo. It's our name. Why don't we just call it that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it was like, all right, everybody agreed, and we were just, let's do it. You know, so.
Obituary by Obituary. The heavy.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it wasn't something we, like, thought about, you know, like in some super deep meaning at all. It's just kind of because of the artwork lended to it, you know.
Well, you can.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man, so you're on stage. You're writing the music. You're playing with Obituary all the time. What is, like, the heaviest Obituary riff? Like, the Obituary pit riff. Like, the one that just sets it off. What's, like, the number one heaviest Obituary riff in your...
It's a different kinds of level of heavy. I mean, like, when we play slowly, obviously the place erupts. Yeah. I mean, every time. It's... Why would we kick into that, you know, after the intro part? Once it kicks in, it's like the whole place erupts. But, like, on this set we're doing right now, probably, like, the heaviest riff is probably Turned to Stone.
Yeah.
But it's so f***ing heavy, people are, like, stunned. They're like, just sitting there staring. Yeah, they don't even know what to do because it's so f***ing heavy. And it comes to that PA, it's brutal. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a pretty heavy riff.
So you know when to go get your health insurance. Get that taken care of. We always talk, and I love one of our favorite questions to ask people is, like, the light bulb moment you had. You know, when you were younger, maybe, or you saw something, a record or this or that, where you went, damn, I need to get into that. So I'm curious, what was the first metal record or record that you can remember buying with your own money?
Wow, that's a good question.
We're going to send you back.
Yeah, that's...
Send you back in time.
God, probably... Wow.
I think mine was
Yeah.
Greatest
nice.
Hits.
God, I don't know.
Mine was Jimi Hendrix.
I mean, like, my first album I ever had was given to me was AC/DC High Voltage. That was my very first physical record that was in my hand. Probably Iron Maiden. Number of the Beast, probably. Maybe.
Because we know, you know, everybody's got that story, you know. Young kids that are listening now, older heads and this and that. It's just good to know. And, like, now somebody's going to go buy that record because they're like, damn.
Or steal it. Or
yeah,
that's totally awesome.
All right, so obviously we all know the big four of thrash. We got Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth. If you were to choose the big four of death metal, what's the big four of death metal?
Well, the big four of death metal. I don't know, like, if it has anything to do with popularity, but I would say, like, Celtic Frost would be one for sure. To me, this is to me, obviously, because people are like, some people are like, who's that?
Or, you know,
yeah, and I loved death a lot, and I think death should be part of that. John's already said Venom, but they're not really death metal, right? I mean, I was gonna say Possessed. I was gonna say Possessed, and I guess I would have to say our band, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. But Venom does. One of our favorite bands on the whole planet for sure.
Hey, so what's the rest of the year looking like for you guys? Obviously, you're in the middle of, you know, hitting the road and whatnot. But we're always just curious about new stuff, new music, new jams. What your plans are for maybe even 2019?
Well, we're gonna, after this run, we're gonna go to Europe for, I don't know, 9 gigs in July. We're doing a couple festivals and some club dates in July through the beginning of August, and then oh yeah, I can say it now. Finally, this is the first time I've been interviewed.
Oh, wow.
In November, we're going to do a tour in Europe with Slayer. Which is pretty sick. Yeah, we're doing the first leg of their farewell tour in Europe. So it's Obituary, Anthrax, Lamb of God, and Slayer. Wow, I finally got to say it. Killer!
Dude, congrats.
Yeah, pretty stoked.
Sick.
We're working on some other stuff. We're trying to hopefully get to the Pacific side, September, October maybe. Other than that, that's pretty much what we're doing right now, you know.
Pretty much got your whole year then planned out then.
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, well, last question we always like to ask.
So, if you could pick a scar on your body, tell us where it is on your body. If you can show us, if you can, and tell us the story of the scar.
I got a good one. It's right here. See that scar?
Yeah, there it is.
See, right? It's funny. It's right on the wrinkle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you got kind of
right on his forehead.
Lines up with the wrinkle. I was in Sardinia, where my wife is from, a town called Sassari. It's in Italy.
Wow.
It's an island off Italy. And I had... It was the day I got there. I flew from Tampa, and I was up for like 36 hours. And my buddy's like, let's go out and drink some beers. A bunch of Italian dudes I know, buddies of mine. And I was like, of course, you know. And we were up. I was up. I don't even know how late it was. Maybe 2 in the morning. And walking back, I stumbled and cracked my head on the cobblestone road.
Concussion City?
I don't really remember because...
Yes, so yes.
We'll find out.
Probably. I mean, I was thinking I was already blacked out because I was, you know, the Walking Dead. I was sleepwalking, basically. And I wanted... I mean, also drank was beers. It wasn't like... wasn't really wrecked. I think I just basically fell asleep. And I remember I got up and I remember walking back to the apartment. I remember all that. And I was in the bathroom, like, looking at every sleep. And I'm like, I was like, oh, God, that doesn't look good. Because it was like the Grand Canyon split open. I was like, oh, rinse it off, and I got it to stop gushing, and woke up like 7 in the morning. I woke up all day and said, hey, I need to go to the hospital. She's like, what? And I was like, look. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, Trevor,
what are you doing?
Mio Dio. And I went and got, you know.
Stitched up?
Yeah, we got, I don't know how many, you know, it was a few.
Yeah.
Maybe 10.
Damn.
8. Are you serious?
You got any final words for the Northwest audience before we let you go rock the stage at El Corazon?
Don't slip and fall on cobblestone with your forehead.
Obsessed with true crime, cults, or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.